You know, this morning I want to look at a few verses here and a few things. You know, the Bible tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. We know that verse by heart, Hebrews 11:6. It tells us it is impossible to please God without faith. The Christian is saved by faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible tells us. So we understand that. The Christian is to walk by faith, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Whatever we do apart from faith, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14, can be of sin, or is of sin. So we got a lot to talk about of faith. Faith is mentioned best I can calculate, maybe someone's got the exact number, over 300 times in the New Testament alone. Not faithfulness, just the word faith. Faithfulness is a whole other count. It continues on and rolling back to it, and the things that talk about faith are multiple. The New Testament writers spent a lot of time telling us about faith. So, in this present life, we hear a lot about faith, don't we? Faith only, faith this, faith that. We hear a lot of people talk about that. They throw that out there a lot. You know, I had a conversation recently with some brethren, and it sparks kind of the study this morning. You know, there was a talk about, okay, there are those of faith, but just a little different. The conversation came up as, okay, we're not going to pay attention to the fact that they have worldly leaders or maybe they're false worship, false doctrine, but they have a similar faith. They're really close to us. They're just like us, but ... We hear that a lot. And I don't know if this is a new term for me. I'm old school, so it's kind of a new term, but the latest term I hear thrown around a lot is digressive. And it's not a new biblical, it's not a new term in the English dictionary by any means, but it seems to be the new popular trend word we throw around, our digressive brethren. Nothing wrong with the word, it's just the intent behind it in some cases, I do believe. The word digressive says this, as departing from the main subject. We understand that by nature of the word digressive, digressiveness. But it also says digression is a continued nature. Meaning, we're going to continue in this pattern. Meaning, if we're doing something this way, we're going to continue to fall further from it and do something different. We continue to pull away. We continue to do something on the contrary. So that word digressive is a strange word to me because the way we throw it around out there anymore today. You know, somehow it doesn't seem, in the conversation was such where it didn't seem that the word digressive brethren is as bad as any, it's better than somebody else. They're better than the fallen brethren or the erring brethren or somebody that was in church and fell out or may have sin in their life. But an aggressive person that's never obeyed the gospel truth from the heart, the true gospel plan, is a little better. It's almost a point of acceptance to their worship styles and practices. We're closer to them somehow. We're tied. We're tight. We're one. We just got that one problem. Well, that one problem means, you know, they've departed from the faith. They've departed from God. They're not of the faith. The Bible, you know, we'll talk about that here in a minute. But, you know, they may have one thing, but they use multiple cups. Well, they do this, but guess what? They have Sunday school and women teachers. Well, they're just like us. Really, what do they do? Well, but they have women evangelistic efforts. Well, they're just like us, but they may only have women baptizing people. This conversation came up. Is that of the faith that the Bible talks about? Well, they're just like us. They're of the faith. They've got faith. They're just digressive. They're okay, though. That's kind of the mindset we kind of get sometimes, that this is okay. This is acceptable. This is the way it goes. Well, digressive, like we said, by definition, is a continued falling away from the original plan. You're continually pulling away. You're digressing. It's a continual action word. You're moving forward to a different plan. You're not just but. And is that just but big enough to not worship? Well, the Bible tells us a whole other story about those little tweaks from the truth, doesn't it? Well, women teachers, Sunday school, whatever it is. The Bible doesn't just say, oh, well, but you can do this if you'd like. Here's the command, but it's okay here. The faith was to be kept. The faith was to be kept. I don't doubt these individuals that was brought up or they were being talked about had faith. They probably had a faith. They probably had it. Well, James talks about three kinds of faith this morning. And we're going to focus on that. James chapter 2, we all know the chapter. James chapter 2, we find three different faiths going to be discussed and talk about this topic this morning a little bit. And in no way means that I think I'm going to bring you new and exciting news, because I think we're going to go from the Bible and it's going to be things you've heard before. We're going to talk about this in James chapter 2. We want to notice the first kind of faith, though. We're going to begin reading in verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, and what doth it profit? Even so, faith that it hath not works is dead, being alone." Now, I'm reading from the King James Version. Your Pew Bible may read just a little different. So we see here there's a faith that's talked about. What is this faith? Well, I think as we go on, we can read this, and this is talking about a dead faith. It's talking about a dead faith. You know, it substitutes words for deeds. These are for individuals that talk a good story. They talk a good talk. And here's the thing about this dead faith. As I looked at it and studied it and read it, it may be very educated people in the Scriptures. People are smarter than I in the Scriptures, but they're not here today. Maybe they once were, too. You all know, you can think of people in your head that have just oodles of biblical knowledge, scholars, if you will, but they're not in the faith. They don't follow what they say. They don't follow what they can dictate and read and decisively break down and see the facts in the Scriptures. They may profess it, but they don't do it. That's where that but comes in. Well, yeah, that's truth, but we see a lot of educated people. A lot of educated people fall this way. The world's full of educated people. There's a lot of smart people that's never been baptized, and they're biblically smart. You talk to people in the world, not everybody's illiterate about the Bible. I say the bulk of them don't have the knowledge they should, but you'll run into those who are very bright that's never stepped foot in a building. I've had Bible discussions with people that's never been baptized, never claim an association with any religion, but they know the Bible. They've studied it and read it. They haven't obeyed it. This faith is a faith of, well, look at what I've done. Look at me. I put all the right bumper stickers on my car and all the right little symbols. I wear the right chains around my neck, and you know, I do the right things, and I can really put up a good front, can't I? I might even say a scriptural prayer. I can quote scripture. I might be able to teach you something from the Bible, but I'm not going to do it, or I'm not doing it. And they're blindly going along with this false sense of religion in their head that they are of the faith. They have faith. They do. James doesn't deny that. James does not take that away from them. They have the right walk, or the right talk, the right knowledge, the right understanding. They are very intellectual sometimes. But you know what? It's an intellectual faith only. They have knowledge. They don't have the works. They don't have the deeds. In one's mind, he or she may know the plan of salvation. They may know the doctrine of truth. They may know what the Bible teaches as truth, but they're not following it. They're not practicing it, but they can sure preach a good sermon about it. They can sure stand on the corner and tell you a good story about it. They can sure sit in a home study and really break down the Bible to the rightly divided truth, but not follow it themselves. They can say great prayers. They may give great speeches, but they never really submitted themselves unto God and trusted in Jesus for salvation. How can I say that? Because they know all the right words, but they're still not in a saved condition, according to James. Does it save us? No. Three times in this passage alone, James says, he emphasizes that faith without works is dead. The 17th, 20th, and 26th verse. Faith without works is dead. Plain and simple. There's no dot, 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 or but, or what if, or maybe, or over here, or digressive, or this or that. There's nothing. He says faith without works is dead. What works is he talking about? Is he talking about the works of the old law? No, absolutely. That was condemned. Those works aren't going to save you anymore. If you think that's for salvation, it's not going to save you anymore. It's the works of the faith. What is that? We're going to get into that here as we keep going on. Faith, they have no works. Three times he says that. They have no works to back up their talk. Any declaration of faith that does not result in our change of life. They say, you know, we declare the gospel. We come forward. We were baptized. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm moved in my heart. Man, I'm going to do this. And next week I'm out there doing the exact same things without any concern or care about that I'm violating God's law. I'm not a changed man. Or I may have knowledge of God's law and just don't care because, well, I'm addicted to this, I can't put it down, or this or that. God will understand. Well, I don't see that as wrong. We haven't fully submitted to God's will. These are the faith that he's talking about, the dead faith people. Yeah, we hear the word, we believe it, we show up on Sunday, we feel great about ourselves, we know the Bible, great. He says, what else? If James could put a but in there, he says, but what have you done about your faith? That's the key thing we're looking at here. So dead faith is a real thing. It's a real thing. James talks about it. It is a counterfeit faith, if you will. It's gonna trick us and fool individuals into thinking they have eternal life because they have this great knowledge, this great understanding, may have a pat on the back. They may do or say all the right things, go all the right places, go to all the right meetings, look the right way, prop themselves up the right way, but there's nothing inside. There's nothing to show forth their faith. These are the people that tell you how much of a Christian they are usually. You ever see that in a worldly sense? Now keep in mind, James is talking about those of the household of God. He's talking about God's people here. He's warning God's people about these people becoming these people. But we see them in the world. Think about it. We see all those people who want to tell you they're a Christian all the time. You know, if you have to keep telling everybody you're a Christian, maybe you're not. You ever think about that? If you have to keep telling people who you are, you're probably not that person. You know, you see them on the, talking about the bumper stickers and all that. I know people personally I talk to on a daily basis that just throw it out there that they're full of faith and this and that and all that and turn around and tell the dirtiest jokes, cuss, swear, talk about the bars, talk about this, whatever. And these are grown adults, 50 years old. Are they a Christian person? Do they have the faith? They have a faith in themselves, probably not in God, because they haven't been moved to do what God's commanded them. But that's that self-proclaimed faith. They talk. They can really tell you a good story. They look great. They go to the biggest mega church in town. Oh, yeah, they had all this stuff going on, and they just don't have it. And they don't get it. Some of them just don't get it. They don't get it. Are they of a saved faith? The Bible says this is a dead faith. And here's where we go. If our walk doesn't measure up to our talk, do we have an active faith in Christ Jesus? If our works don't measure up, we can go out and act a certain way and look a certain way. That's great. Now, are we actually doing the works the Bible commands? Are we doing those things the Bible commands us to do? You know, 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul told Timothy this. He said, some shall depart from the faith. He's talking to us. He's saying, people, there are those and the baptized believers, Timothy, that will depart from the faith. So faith is an important thing. It's a thing we've got to be focused on. It's not something we just go around and say, oh, I got faith, and put the plaque on our wall in our kitchen, put the bumper sticker on, tell everybody how great we are. It is very important that we understand faith is not thrown around like it is today. Just like the word Christian is thrown around today. That's not the way the Bible intended it. Faith is something that is very unique to those Christians, a true faith, that is. And those who claim to have true faith but don't show the works, the Bible's not very happy with. James warns the people about that. And he says, Paul says, look, Timothy, you're not going to save everybody, basically. There's going to be those who depart. You're not only not going to save everybody, you're not going to keep some of the flock. Some of you, and I'm saying not here, but he was pointing out, he'd be pointing out to the crowd, saying, some of you here are going to depart. That's what he's telling them. He says, so there is a faith that people are rooted in, and there's a faith that's not going to keep them rooted. There's those who are going to fall away. That's the scary part as we move on quickly. No man can come to Christ and remain the same. You ever think about that? We're going to be driven to change. If we're truly converted, we're going to be driven to change. You know, Romans 6:4, a verse we know very well in baptism, it says, therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ we are raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so all we also should walk in newness of life. We are newness of life. We rise up a new creature. We put off that old man. We are buried with him in baptism. We rise up a new man. There is nothing old about us anymore as far as our ways, our thoughts, our mind. It is directed by God. Now, not all faith does that. The true faith does. When you're convicted in your heart and you're obeying the true faith and you have the true faith, that changes you. That makes you a newness of life. But these people that claim to have faith, anybody can say that. Words are words, and that's what the Bible says. These are words they're using. They're very smart people, and they're just throwing the word out there. They don't have nothing. Back it up. But the Bible says when you go down to baptism, you rise up a new creature. You are a new creature. You should be moved by the faith. If you've obeyed from the heart, you've risen a new creature. You're a new person, just like Christ. You come up and you're a new creature. 2 Timothy 3:5 warns this. It says, look, there are those who having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, I don't know exactly who he's talking about. I know the type of people he's talking about. He just said it. It may be a generic. Anybody that falls in this category, which I believe that's probably the truth. So is a digressive brother or anyone that's not following the true faith a brother indeed? Are they a brother I have fellowship with? I look at James and I got a question. I don't think there's too many gray areas here. He says, these brethren are not your brethren. Those who don't follow the faith, aren't of the true faith, are not your brethren. They're not going to be ones who we're going to be fellowshipping with and accepting their worship practices. You know, and here's a scary thing. We talk about this faith, those who proclaim a gospel, proclaim a religion, they proclaim a faith, they proclaim a love in God. Many of these people, and in this case, James says they don't have works, good works. Many of them have works. Many of them may have good works, but not according to the scriptures. You ever think about that? There's people out there doing great things. Man, there's some people I'm like, wow, I need to be more giving like this person. I need more caring like this person. And they're not even of the faith. That's embarrassing because you see people doing that. You're like, man, I'm a Christian. I should be better. There's some people doing good stuff, good works, good things out there. There are people doing it. But in Matthew chapter 7, you know what Jesus tells those people? Many will say to me in that last day, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And Jesus says, depart from me, ye wicked. I never knew you. They didn't do it in the proper context of Christ Jesus and God's will. They didn't do it. How can we say that? Because Jesus condemned them. He says there's going to be those that fall into that category. They got a great faith. They proclaim it. They say it. They do great works. But it's not in Christ Jesus. They've digressed. They've fallen from the truth. There's something they lack that they didn't do that they should have been doing. Faith didn't get them there. Not even their works helped them. Because why? Maybe it was old. Maybe it was the old law they were following. Maybe whatever. But whatever it wasn't a commandment of the New Testament Christian and the works that they're to follow. He says, it's going to happen. It's going to be there. That's scary. He says, these people exist. This is time to come. It's going to happen, Jesus says. There's going to be many in that last day. Lord, I've cast out devils. I've prophesied. Well, we talked about the intellect of men being faith only and having the very brightest of the world, some of them, Bible scholars and commentators and people that can break down the scriptures, but don't obey the truth. They have faith in God. They may never even worship anywhere, but they know the Bible probably better than I do, and they don't follow it. He says, these are going to depart. Don't follow them. Stay away from them. Who is our brother then? You know, real quickly, moving on, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50 says, Jesus says, whosoever will do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, he says, the same is my brethren, my mother, and my sister. So who is our fellowship with? Those of like faith. That's simple. That's simple. There's simple, clear. There's no gray area. There's no but. There's no, hey, they're similar to us, but it's we fellowship with those of like faith. We come together and worship the same way. We practice the same things based on the scriptures telling us and commanding us to come together on the first day of the week. We don't deviate this. We're not going to fellowship or change this with anybody. We're going to hold true. If we've got the faith completely, we hold true to the commandment of the observance of the Lord's Supper, the first day of the week, and all the commands that Christ and God and the disciples have given us to follow, to be found faithful. So those things are of faith. Those things are easy. The next kind of faith we're going to talk about, we're going to move on quickly. Moving to verse 18, it says, yea, a man say that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now here's the kicker. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. That ought to scare the daylights out of all of us. Think about it. The devils believe. Is belief going to get anybody anywhere? Your greatest faith, is it going to get you anywhere? The devils, who are they? These demonic beings were Satan's helpers. They were cast down from heaven. They once had a heavenly home. They knew God. They knew Christ before the foundation of the world. Think about this. There is nobody that doesn't know God and Christ's will better than the devils. Their mind. They were there. They were with them. They have faith, but are they found faithful? Are they saved? The Bible says they fear and tremble. There's two parts to this. There's actually three parts to this. Think about that. They have faith. They have a fear of the Almighty God. They recognize the power in his being and his greatness. They tremble. And there's another part here. It says it is a form of worship. They've worshiped Jesus. Think about this. And I want to get to that point here real quickly. And you look at this and it says, moving on. They believe in a deity. They definitely believe in deity because they've worried about him. But you look in Mark 5 and Luke 8 repeats the same thing. Talks about the same story about those that man possessed with demons that tore himself, lived in the caves naked. Nobody could chain him. He was crazy. Crazy man, but he was demonic. He was possessed. It wasn't like a person with mental illness today. This is a true possession. This person was possessed with demons. It says, well, we'll get to that. It's plural and singular at the same time because he talks singular, but they're a plural. He talks about that. He said he's possessed with demons. They bowed down crying, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." They bowed down to Christ to worship him. That's a form of worship. They bowed down. They recognized the deity. They recognized Christ, the Son of Man, the creator of all being. And they bowed down and recognized his power. And what did they say? "Oh, thou Son of God, don't come to torment us before our time." They knew he was the Almighty Judge. Faith only. Does that get you anywhere? The devils believe and tremble. That's scary to me. I think about that verse, and that's amazing. The devils have fear of God, but mankind walks around all puffed up and arrogant. But the almighty devil that we can't even control, we don't even have enough power to go against unless we use God's word, fears and trembles. I can't imagine. I can't imagine that. He fears and trembles. The demons and Satan here, they believe in condemnation. They believe in a place for those who don't obey God. And they know they're not with God. They know they're against him, and they believe Christ is going to judge them in the end. And they're fearful that Christ has come at this point to judge them. Don't send us to our judgment yet. Cast us into the swine. Well, you know, the story goes, there was about 2,000 swine that ran off that hill, and this has no point in this other than a historical little lesson. He's talking to one demon in particular. There's a conversation one-on-one that appears here. But he goes, "What is thy name?" He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And when he cast out many demons out of that man, there was one speaking, but there were many in him. There were some 2,000 swine that they cast him into. I don't know if all of them had the demon in them or not, but all 2,000 ran off the bluff into the water and died. So that's a lot of demons. They confessed Christ. There wasn't one of those, if there were 2,000 of them, there wasn't one of them that could stand up to Christ or say, "Well, I believe in you. It's good enough. Yeah, you're powerful. You got all the power." Faith didn't get him there. Oh, and the devil's doing good works, by the way. He's doing works. Good works in his mind. His works are good in his mind. That's what he's out to do. He's doing what he wants to do, not what the will of the Lord is. But see, that's what the world comes into. I'm going to do what I want, but I have faith in Christ and God loves me. He's going to forgive me of all unrighteousness because my God's a loving God. Great. The Bible doesn't show that. The devils were cast down, did not keep their first estate, but were cast down out of heaven. Now they're down here on earth possessing individuals, and Christ walks up. You know, the ironic thing is, every example I can find in the Bible of the New Testament, when Christ comes within a radius of demonic beings or the devil possession, the first person to confess Christ is the devil. You ever notice that? Look up in your Bible. It could be a large crowd, and Christ walks amongst the crowd. There's one possessed, and he cries out, "Thou Son of God." But yet the crowd didn't recognize him as the Son of God or wouldn't confess him. The devil still wasn't saved. His faith, his belief, his understanding of the powerful, almighty God in Christ Jesus did nothing for him. Did nothing. It didn't save him. That's a powerful statement. I think James puts that in there for us to understand. There are those who once were angels in heaven, cast down, and they're in bad shape. They believe. They have faith. They have an intellect. They have a knowledge. And they also bow down when they see Christ. And that goes along with Acts 4:11-12, I think it is, if my memory serves me right. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess in that last day. Well, when they see Jesus, they bow now. You ever notice that? The devils are the first to confess. They bow down and they call out Christ Jesus as Son, God's Son. Not good enough. Sorry. James says that. Not good enough. It's not good enough. You're not just an erring brethren. You're not just a fallen angel. You are against God. Your works do follow you. You have works, and they can be numbered. And your works definitely are judging them. So does faith only get you anywhere? No. Does works only get you anywhere? So far, no. It doesn't get you anywhere yet. So we saw a man with dead faith, or individuals, a category of people with dead faith, that are only affected by their knowledge and their words. meaning they have intellect of the Bible, they have understanding of the truth. We talked about the fact that they can articulate, they may say a correct scriptural prayer, can teach a lesson, can break down a verse, but their faith is nothing. They have nothing to back it up with. Knowledge and truth isn't enough for them. They have it. What are they doing with it? Now, this last faith we talked about here, this demonic faith, if you've noticed one thing, it is affected, or it applies to those who have intellect, they have knowledge, they have intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have more knowledge than you and I would ever have. They have knowledge of heaven and glory that they once had. They have all this knowledge and recognition of Christ. Now, they don't not only have that, but now they've added to it. So does that make them better? See, that's the thing. People say, well, they have faith. They have faith and they have this, this, and this, but they lack this. Well, now we had faith up here with no works. Now we have faith here with fear and trembling and great knowledge, that being the demons. And now we also add the emotions because they feared and trembled. It affected the devil. Where the demons, when they saw Christ, they knew. They trembled, they feared, they acknowledged, they confessed, they bowed down, and they recognized the almighty, powerful Jesus as God's own Son. So those are the two categories we're seeing. One had very little. One has all kinds of categories added to him, doesn't he? The devil. Doesn't make him saved. Doesn't make him saved. Doesn't help him. It doesn't help him at all. Why? Because James 2:19 we read, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well, the devils believe and tremble. They're not found in Christ Jesus. They're not found in doing God's will. They don't have the whole will of the Lord. Oh, he knows the scriptures. He tried to use them on Jesus, believe it or not. How bold was that? Jesus on the high point, he tried to use the scriptures in a cropped manner to trick Jesus. Jesus says, for it is written, thou shalt not serve. You shall serve the Lord thy God and the Lord thy God only. He told the Satan to get behind him. We see the devil use cunning devices. We see people that are very bright and very sharp. That doesn't make them saved. Can this save? No. Even knowledge being stirred in the heart is not going to save you. True saving faith is something more. It's something much more than that. We have to recognize there's a change in our life. We recognize there's a change in our life. We talked about earlier, do we have to go around telling people we're a Christian? Oh, you're a Christian? I didn't know that. Man, that ought to be the kiss of death for us if somebody says that. If we have to tell them we're a Christian, they look at us and go, oh, you're a Christian? Just go crawl in a hole. I hate to be that way, but I mean, really, that's what it should be. Because the Bible says we should show forth. It shouldn't be a fact that we tell anybody anything. The Apostle Paul didn't go around saying, I'm Paul, I'm here, I'm the Apostle, you all know me, I do miracles, I'm of the faith. He walked into town and worked. And his works followed him. And people came to see his works, to hear him preach, to see what he did. And he bore the marks of those works, he said. So think about that. He didn't have to tell anybody he was a Christian. Oh, they knew him. That's Saul of Tarsus, now Paul. He's one of them now. They pointed him out of a crowd. We didn't have social media, TV, photographs, and all that stuff to pass around. They knew who he was by what? Not by looks. And he didn't come in saying, I'm Paul, into town right away. He came in preaching. They knew him by his works. He said, oh, I've heard of this guy preaches like this. This is Paul. This is Christ. When Christ came to town, they didn't have to tell him who they were, nor did they. That's something to think about. They didn't go around bragging, I'm a Christian. I wore the shirt, got all the right wording on it, got the little faith scripture on the back. I had to have my bumper sticker. I had this, I had that. I had my flag outside my house. Hey, look, I'm a Christian. You can wave all the banners you want. It doesn't matter. Christ and Jesus, or Christ and Paul give us an example that they came in and their works followed them. And it showed forth who they were and what they were. This kind of faith cannot save us. It is a changed life. It is a changed man that steps up and shows a different walk. Different works, different talk, different attitude. Maybe even different friends. To those who haven't been baptized, it may be a whole new group of friends, but the friends you're going to gain are going to be the ones that are watching out for your soul salvation. Worldly friends are going to take advantage of you every single time, eventually. Even the nicest, even the best, even the closest friends can take advantage of you. Apostle Paul said to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 7, 2 Timothy 4, 7, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Does that sound like a man that just had faith without works? Does that sound like a man that had faith of works like the devil? No, Paul was confident because he knew he had kept the scriptures. He wasn't boastful and arrogant like he was to Saul. He even says, I now see, I understand, and I perform those duties. My life is going to be called to me shortly. I've done these things. That's all I can do. Here's my example. He says, I've done those. I've kept the fight. I fought a good fight. I've kept the course. Or finished the course, kept the faith. Excuse me, I'm all over the board on that one. Being a Christian means turning to Christ and living for Christ. You first receive the Word of God, then it's revealed in you in your life. You think about that? You don't receive the Word of God and baptize and have to send a card out to all your friends and buddies and say, look, I'm a Christian now. It's a changed life. That doesn't do you no good to send a card. It may be kind of nice if you send everybody a card. That's all right. But it's inside. It's you. You're a changed being. You're a different person. You're a different person. You have a different calling. You have a different focus. Your walk and talk and speech and attitude will not be the same. The things you indulge in may not be the same for the better. You're not going to talk and participate in these speeches that are corruptive and evil. You're going to walk away from those kind of things. They're going to notice a change in you that you're not the same person you once were. Dan, what is wrong with you? Well, you know, nothing's wrong with me. I've seen the light. They're going to inquire God of you. You don't have to tell them outright. You don't have to brag and put a badge of honor on your chest to say who you are. They should know who you are. Paul says, I fought that fight. Being a Christian means turning to God. We talked about that. You see the word, reveal it. Reveal it. That's what God wants. He don't want you to tell everybody you're a Christian. He wants you to reveal it. Show forth the Christianity in your life. 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, there were this group, and we hope we never fall into this group. He says, we're ever learning and never able to come to the understanding and the knowledge of the truth. Have you met people like that? Even people in church, you're always working with them. They just can't get past something. They just can't learn it and get over it and get beyond it and move and grow. He warns Timothy, even your best efforts, there's going to be those of maybe a dead faith. They're going to be learning, but they're never just going to accept and obey and follow and perform the truth. Just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. It's going to happen. So no matter how hard you try, these smart individuals may fall by the wayside. And they may not be that smart in scriptures. It just be, there's those that are not going to obey the truth. They're going to have constant studies, but just can't get that, can't pull the trigger, can't do it. Well, moving on quickly. Faith is not an emotional experience in service. How many of you heard that? Probably every one of us can raise multiple hands multiple times. Oh, man, I had this great moving experience in church. Man, I felt it. My heart fluttered. I got faint. Maybe the heat was on too high that day. I don't know. But they said, boy, I've had an emotional spirit. I've got the faith. I'm good. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's a feeling. That's an emotion. That's not what faith is about. It's not about something that happened to you driving down the road or some light hits you in the face in a dream, whatever it is. It's not faith. James talked about two-faced now. He talked about dead faith. We talked about those are the demons or the devils, the demonic faith, if you will. Now we got a third kind of faith, and I want to look at this quickly. Moving on, we'll wrap this up. What kind of faith is this? Well, chapter 20, verse 20 and 26 says, but wilt thou, O vain man, without faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his own son, upon the altar? Seest thou how thou wrought with his work, faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scriptures were fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then how that by works man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. He tells you what kind of works now is required with faith. It's good works, according to the scriptures. Her works served God. Abraham's works obeyed God. He was commanded. He followed that obey. He followed that command, and he was good in that. And he says these were good works. These are faithful people, or this in this case, and then they were faithful in all these things that was commanded at this time or that was expected, and they followed it through. There's a dead faith. It only touches our intellectual knowledge, if you will. A lot of smart people out there just can't get it. A lot of smart people fall from the truth. A lot of smart people never obey the truth. There's that faith of those of the devils, the possessions, the demons. It involves both our mind, our emotions, recognition of God, the power of the Almighty. We might even worship Him in some form, not the form commanded. They bowed down and praised His name. They gave Him a deity He deserved and a recognition. He is the Almighty God, and they fell to their knees. They bowed before Him. Not good enough. not good enough. The mind, excuse me, the saving faith puts us with the mind. We got a mind. We think, we hear, we believe upon that. We have emotions that drives us when we hear something. And then we have the will within us. You think about that a minute. The mind understands the truth. We can understand the truth. The Bible says that. We can understand the truth. The heart will desire and rejoice in the truth. We're glad we found it. We're excited. We're pumped up. We have salvation. We've been looking for it. Couldn't find it. We found it. We got it. Awesome. We are thrilled. The will of man acts upon it. We act upon it. We do something about it. It's great. You got it. Do something with it. You know, you got these talents. Don't go bury them in the ground. Increase them. The parable of the talents. We know that. The true saving faith leads to action. That's what we can learn today. It's not just intellectual. It's not like the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, they had all knowledge, didn't they? They say and they don't do. Remember the scriptures? The scribes are keepers of the law. They're, where's that at in the law? They keepers of that law, the intersect of the Pharisees there. The scribes and the Pharisees were sayers and not doers. Oh, they loved the upper rooms. They loved to wear the garments. They loved to be recognized. Oh, that's a religious man. They threw a beacon on themselves to prove they were. That's what the Bible said don't do. We have the fact that it's not emotional. We're not moved in our heart and say, oh, great, I have the faith, or I had a flutter in my chest, or the sweats in church, and this and that. And yeah, that led me to something. That sounds a lot like a denominational, Pentecostal, digressive type of thinking, doesn't it? It is that which leads obedience to do God's will in good works. We do good will or good works before God. We do those things that He has commanded us to do. We assemble upon the first day of the week. We remember Christ Jesus through the unleavened bread and the cup containing the fruit of the vine. We have all the attributes of the Christian. We build upon them. We desire to serve the Lord. We work on those. We add to our faith knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Those are the things we put in place. We're building and growing and developing, and we're showing it to our fellow man. We're showing it to one another. We're acting different than the world. We go out in the world, we don't get angry like the world when the world gets angry. We don't join in the conversations when the world gets those bad conversations. We step aside. We do something different, contrary to the nature of this world. Then people say, you're different. Ah, you're doing the works. You're doing the works. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from amongst the unclean thing. In Old Testament scripture, we should understand that. If we are dabbling or looking just like the unclean thing, how can we be different? How can people recognize that we're over here doing the will of the Lord? They got to ask us, are you a Christian? Well, yeah. On Sunday I am. Oh, that figures. Or, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Really? Wow. I wouldn't have got that. Man, that's horrible. That's horrible. Well, I'm going to wrap this up right here. Satan's a great deceiver. Don't forget that. He is the most knowledgeable of all. If you think we're going to out-trick him on our own, you're crazy. We need the Bible. We need the complete will of the Lord. We can't take away part of the armor and be protected against the devil. The armor of the Word. We got the sword of the Spirit. We got all those things that we have at our disposal. We start throwing those to the side and going to battle without them and saying, I'm going to take faith only with me. Good luck with that. It's like a one-armed sword fighter or something out there, a boxer trying to fight a fight. You're not going to be successful. You throw a few punches, the devil's going to tear you up. The devil's going to tear you up. He can be, make it seem convenient. It's a counterfeit faith. It's a faith that's not based on true faith, that one that serves God and pleases God.